The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host. We're sponsored by North State Consultants Incorporated, the best tax prep and consultants in the business. Their telephone number is 530-221-0101. And consultations are by appointment only. You're listening to 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire. Today is April 21st, 2012. Again, my name is Mark Kent. I am your host. I'm here in the studio with Bob, our trusted soundboard operator and all-around good guy.
Good morning, Mark. Good to see you.
Good morning. My sister is out shooting things up at Applebee. They're having a shoot up there in Hat Creek.
And now, also, when you told me that, I thought, oh, cool, they're having a photo shoot over at the restaurant on Hilltop. But that's not what the Applebee shoot is.
Yeah, with targets. Excuse me. We also have a new trusted soundboard operator in training and all-around good gal in the studio as well, Rachel.
Nice to be here. Thanks.
Very good. Very good. Our guest this morning is going to be Gary Creep from USJF, which is United States Justice Foundation. Next week, we'll be having Gary Cadd in from Shasta Coordination. Let's see. I want to start with a couple of things here. And being here by myself, I'm absolutely discombobulated. I don't have my mouse. Doesn't get any better than this, I guess. Reading Tea Party.
It's tough doing it by yourself, isn't it?
I know. I feel so alone.
You can always throw it over to Linda if necessary.
Yeah, I just hand it over and there you go. I'm going to skip the intro today, and go straight into to stuff. I want to see let's talk about the current events from the. Veterans updates on Monday at 2 p.m. At the veterans homes, the Masons will lay a cornerstone for the home. And the State Assembly Budget Subcommittee unanimously voted Wednesday afternoon to restore $10.6 million to the budget to open the Reading and Fresno Veterans Home and have them in operation as soon as possible. There was approximately 400 to 500 people in attendance in the room, and so it's it looks like Carl got his project done, which is great, because it's funny how all of a sudden they found the money, the more pressure that they got put on them. So that's our veterans events. My first quote is, all our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them, and that's Walt Disney. Now I have a talking points memo here, and I'm going to excuse me, read it. When I hear people say they are voting for Romney instead of Ron Paul because Paul can't win, I get a mental image at Valley Forge. All odds against Washington. No congressional support, very little at best. The troops battered and bloody. No food or shelter or funds to buy provisions. All the odds were stacked against him. I see him in my mind, the great George Washington, with one knee down in the snow, praying to God and trusting him with his life or death. I think to vote for the lesser of two evils is still a vote for evil. And as my father used to say, two wrongs don't make a right. I, for one, will vote for freedom in the Constitution no matter the odds and depend on Almighty God to turn the tide. I will not vote for another bankster's empty shirt when I have the choice of voting for a patriot. I will vote my conscience and sleep well. To be brainwashed by the media would you defect to the British because Washington couldn't win? That still makes you a pawn at best and a traitor at worst. No, I will vote for freedom this election no matter what. If there must be blood, then let's get to it. I will never vote for another liar that will grind us into slavery, poverty, and despair. A vote for Romney, in my opinion, is a vote for Obama, for they share the same masters. If this election you think to vote for security and safety instead of freedom, you'll have neither. Next week I will talk about Ron Paul's real foreign policy, not the mainstream media's conjured, biased, slanted, and distorted version of it. And as they say, that's the memo. Now, let's talk about the economy a little bit. Let's see. It's rough being by yourself in here. We're going to have our guest on here pretty soon. We need to call them up too, Bob. I got the number here, so let me give that to you. I don't want to give it over the radio.
No, please don't.
but we need to call him up. So let's get back to the economy here. How the states can protect themselves from financial collapse. This comes from alt-market.co. And it talks about the United States of America are truly the children of the Constitution. The legal framework that is the foundation of state sovereignty and internal administration is unique for perhaps any country in history up to the moment the U.S. Won its independence. States were designed to decentralize and keep in check the power of a subservient federal government. They were meant to be guardians of the gate, the barrier of information, of the formation of oligarchy and an outright dictatorship. This, of course, has changed drastically. The battle over centralized versus decentralized authority and economy has been going on for quite some time. It is undeniably critical in our climate of crisis now under a government which is bankrupt in every sense and a currency which is on the verge of calamity. A vast shift in state independence was definitely caused by the reformation of the Civil War. But, getting past that, what we need to do to stop this is stop accepting federal funding. For states already drowning in debt, this is probably an incomprehensible idea for them. There's no financial escape for California or Illinois that I can see, is what the author's saying. But for those states which have some responsibility and lower debt levels, federal funding is not necessary. Much of the money that is federal government money collects that it collects comes through the state's cooperation. The money is then handed back to the states through various avenues with strings attached. The rest of capital DC pumps into the states, the rest of the capital that DC pumps into the states is attained through printing, which carries the high price of dollar devaluation and hidden tax inflation. The fact is, states are not required by law to accept federal funds. As long as states do so anyway, they expose themselves to federal influence. As the dollar goes, so shall all those tied to it. States should take the lessons from the Asian bloc nations like China or Japan and begin distancing themselves as far away from U.S. currency and debt as possible. Now, boy, that's an interesting thing. Enforced Tenth Amendment nullification is the second step. I'm not going to go into every single one. But this article talks about what we need to do to prop the states up from the federal government, its overreach, its overspending, its control through the money. And we also need to set up a state bank, is what this article is saying, and get an independent bank away from the Federal Reserve and the Federal Reserve banking system, because we need independent competition and going back to some kind of a standard of value backed by gold or silver. So adopt alternative currencies would be another thing that we would talk about, and encourage localized market instead of these world globalization stuff where we, instead of depending on our local economies to produce goods and services and food, right now we're depending on the world economy, which strings us out and makes us very vulnerable to disruption distribution and so forth. In other words, if we're depending on the global economy to support us, what happens when they don't support us any longer? That's an issue. So I think we have a caller on the line.
Yet another Gary.
He says from Reading. Are you on the line there, Gary?
Yes. Good morning. Last Saturday, you briefly mentioned the New Jersey court case regarding the eligibility of Obama and the falsification of his birth certificate and such. So I went online, and I was shocked.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Obama's attorney admitted that the birth certificate was a forgery,
yep.
But she said that doesn't matter because all the signatures that put him on the ballot, the people signed the petition to put him on the ballot, were verified, so it doesn't matter that his birth certificate is a forgery. And then I read briefly a lot of the summaries of a lot of other court cases having to do with the forgery, and they go back to 2007, and it's on that website. And my conclusion is not a judge has the cojones to allow the cases to progress because they're all thrown out on a technicality.
Yep. You know what the thing is happening here is that what they're saying basically is it doesn't matter if he was a foreign citizen. It doesn't matter that the Constitution says he has to be a natural-born citizen and follow those rules. What they're basically saying is it's okay as long as he's elected. And gosh darn, you know, you think about that for a second, you go, well, I guess it doesn't matter if we have a terrorist in the White House. Let's say that, some guy from Afghanistan named bin Laden runs. And so it really doesn't matter where his allegiances are. I mean, the rule of law is what's at question here. And the fact that the media is covering this up, and I saw those videos that you're talking about with his attorney using sophistry, and the judges are buying into this for whatever reason because, like you say, they don't have the stones to stand up to the federal government and say enough's enough. Yeah, we got a real problem here, but you know, this thing is not going to go away. Obama's forgeries are confirmed, and the Selective Service is a real problem because that's a third-degree felony, and people need to start getting online and start putting pressure on their local officials and their state officials and their federal officials to start doing something about this because this is unconscionable, and the rule of law is what's at stake here, not the fact that Obama is in the White House.
Right, and Roger Hitchcock mentioned the other night that if we don't have accountability, which we apparently do not, because these government bureaucrats can just deny answering questions or refuse to answer questions to Congress and take no responsibility for a number of things.
There's no accountability.
We're doomed between that. In the courts, we don't have any recourse at all.
I agree.
Listen,
Gary, hold on to the phone. We got to go to a break real quick,
sure.
And we'll come back with that right back. Like I say, we got to go to a break right now. We'll be right back. 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire.
Hi, this is Doug with Gold Leaf Nursery. Now's the time to get your garden soil prepared for your spring planting with great organic soil amendments and fertilizers. We are the headquarters for your organic products. We carry E.B. Stone Organics, John and Bob's, Denali Gold, and much more. Did you know just a little pinch of Denali Gold will increase your seed germination tremendously? Get your garden growing with a strawberry patch or plant them as a ground cover. Don't let the season slip by without planting some seed potatoes. And this year we have an outstanding selection of tomatoes. Choose from heirlooms, hot weather varieties, and the very popular grafted tomatoes. You heard me right, grafted tomatoes. They are hardier, with larger yields, and less disease problems. Also check out our new varieties of peppers, zucchinis, and watermelons. We have some watermelons that taste just like tropical fruit punch. Now that will make an incredible fruit salad. Are you limited on space and using large containers for growing? We have half whiskey barrels at a great price. $24.95. Goldleaf Nursery has seminars all through May, so check us out on the web at goldleafnursery.com.
Thank you for shopping at Bastiani Arms. It is now 6 o'clock and we are now closed. Please bring your purchases up to the register at this time.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Just kidding.
The good guys at Bastiani Arms will continue to give you the attention and service you've come to expect, even if you need them after hours. They still treat every customer the old-fashioned way, with respect and first-class customer service. If you're buying a new gun anytime soon, remember Bastiani Arms, your locally owned and operated firearms dealer. New or used, Bastiani Arms is Redding's most knowledgeable firearms dealer on handguns, rifles, shotguns, and off-list AR lower receivers. No fishing poles or camping equipment sold here. No, sir. Bastiani Arms is Redding's exclusive firearms dealer. They appreciate your business and thank you for keeping your dollars here in our community. Bastiani Arms on the corner of Larkspur and Wall Street in Redding. Join the revolution.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
All right, we're back here at AM1460.com. More of Sovereign Minds with Mark Kent. Having a little trouble getting our guest here, but we've still got the first Gary on the line. And, Mark, you can take it, and I'll try to get a hold of our guest in the meantime.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little discombobulated this morning. You know, I didn't realize how much I depended on my sister to do stuff and give me breaks. With a team, it's a lot different. Anyway, we're back. I just kind of wanted to go over this what we're talking with Gary, our caller, about the I've got an article here called "The Sea of Change: Obama's Confirmed Forgeries Are Not Going Away." This comes from Monty. I don't know how to spell his, or say his name is Kaligowski, I guess, American thinker, at American Thinker. For several years, an Orwellian type of fear of being marginalized held reporters and pundits back from questioning Barack Obama's eligibility to hold the office as president. To raise an eyebrow at the bizarre secrecy of Obama was off limits. To question whether the historical definition of natural born citizen applies to Obama or applied to Obama was taboo. The era of fear, however, is happily winding down. It will take some time for this realization to fully take hold, but make no mistake, the tables have turned. Like it or not, the ground has shifted and cannot be shifted back. The evidence of Obama's forgeries is not going away. Up until this point, Mr. Obama controlled everything, including the talking points and burden of proof. Rather than simply produce certified paper copies for state election officials and make the original available to officials for inspection in Hawaii, Obama played games with his purported birth certificate. We were told for 3 years that Obama's birth certificate had been posted in 2008, though it turns out that it was a scant certification. In 2010, when confronted with the alarming doubts of the American people, Mr. Obama laminated to a sympathetic Brian Williams of NBC, "I can't spend all my time with a birth certificate plastered on my forehead." The following year, left out of left field, on April 27th of 2011, Obama released the elusive birth certificate posted by posting a now discredited film image online. This time he wasn't teased, it was proof positive. Mr. Obama, in his robotic style, barked that it was time to stop the silliness and move on. No one ever wanted Obama to get all crazy and walk around with the birth certificate plastered on his forehead, but many took the reasonable position of wanting the mysterious birth certificate produced, not plastered or uploaded to a computer. Many wanted Obama to produce certified copies for state officials and make the original available for inspection. But because no authority forced him to comply with basic legal standards, Mr. Obama was able to create a sideshow atmosphere by selecting non-experts to verify his internet postings behind closed doors. His media sycophants were able to make those who questioned Obama's staunch secrecy appear as the unreasoned ones. Somehow the burden of proof was erroneously placed on the citizenry to prove that Obama wasn't born in Hawaii. Well, the burden never actually rested with the people to prove anything. That was all smoke and mirrors. No conspiracy theories are needed to demand that Obama comply with basic legal standards, especially in the context of a state with a history of certifying foreign births as Hawaii. After Obama released his birth certificate in 2011, nonpartisan computer software experts immediately recognized embarrassing image had been computer assembled. Of course, few in the free press dared to report on the silliness. Fox News quickly summons Adobe certified experts John Claude Trebelotto Triblato or whatever. To conclude, nothing fishy here, but the ORC explanation has been demonstratively debunked by the controlled test findings of Sheriff Joe Arpaio's investigation team. It's simply unfathomable to the consensus media that the only one they worked so hard to elect could be a fraud, or at a minimum could have something to hide. And I think that story kind of says what we're talking about here. Are you still there, Gary?
Yes. For those who are doubters, you mentioned Joe Arpaio's cold case posse. Go online. All you have to do is Google cold case posse Arizona to make sure you have the right cold case posse. And the videos are there, and the explanation is wonderful and very clear. It's irrefutable. It's not only the birth certificate, but the Selective Service card, and also his Social Security. But they dwelled on the Selective Service card. But you know, they're poor forgeries at best.
Absolutely. Listen, Gary, we've got our guest on the line now, and I totally appreciate your call, but we have so little time in this program to get this stuff out. But I appreciate your call. All right. Thank you. All right. Do we have our guest on the line? Gary, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, very good. Well, I'll tell you, we got a little discombobbled this morning because my sister's not here to hold my hand. And so, you know, we're a little late here. I left the paperwork at home. I got an email with your phone number on it. I don't know what happened, but we finally got it together here. So could you introduce yourself, Gary? You're from the United States Justice Foundation, and tell me why you're getting involved in this Obama thing.
Well, the United States Justice Foundation was founded back in 1979 by myself and another California attorney, and since then we've been involved in constitutional issues all across the country, and also in government corruption issues. And there's a substantial amount of corruption that has been uncovered during the Obama administration. And in fact, there's even a question as to whether he's even eligible to serve as President of the United States. And we decided, after a lot of research, to take on these issues because the Constitution needs to be protected from, as it says, from enemies both domestic and foreign. And so we've been investigating a number of these issues. We've fought the Obama administration on a number of things, including Obamacare, including right now we're just filed a brief opposing the indefinite detention provisions of NDAA. Our organization was instrumental in the recent U.S. versus Antoine Jones decision by the United States Supreme Court, which restricted the federal government and all law enforcement's right to track us unceasingly wherever we go, just on a mere suspicion that we might commit a crime at some point in time in the future. There's a lot of things the Obama administration has been doing that warrant the attention of the public and warrant opposition from those of us who believe in this country, who believe in our Constitution, and who believe in preserving our freedoms.
Yeah, the rule of law to me is the big thing here. I mean, that was the whole thing out there on the field of Runnymede with the King John. You know, it's like, gee, is the king above the law, or is the law the king? And if you get the king above the law, you got some serious problems after that, because sooner or later you got a dictatorship, and that's where we're headed if we don't stem this tide.
I agree. Mr. Obama, who claims to have been a constitutional law professor, although there's no evidence to support that, seems to have no idea what the Constitution is all about, seems to have no idea of the concept of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of association, freedom to petition our government for redress of grievances, or what the Fourth Amendment means.
Well, I think that that's been debunked, that he's actually a constitutional professor. They came out of Columbia, I believe it was, a couple of weeks ago. The teachers basically said that his position was pretty much bought for through donations, and he was a teacher, but he was not a teacher of a constitutional, and he was of the Constitution. He was not a professor, so people can check on that. I mean, what seems to me here is that he talks this, like the other day, he's talking about Romney and transparency with his tax records, and here this guy is a complete, you know, nobody knows nothing, none of his school records, can't come up with a birth certificate. It's just absolutely unconscionable.
Well, he has, according to published reports, spent over $2 million concealing from the in attorney's fees, concealing from the public a variety of records. For instance, he has managed to have sealed all of his records as a state senator in Illinois. Now, I don't know. I don't claim to know too much about Illinois, but under California law, that would never be allowed because those are considered to be public documents. When you're a servant of the public, an elected official, all of your correspondence, all of your records as an elected official are open to the public. But he somehow managed to have them sealed. He's managed to have sealed all of his college records, all of his law school records, even his thesis in law school. All of his high school records, all of his elementary school records, his adoption records, because it's acknowledged that he was adopted by his stepfather, his birth records, and it's just amazing how much this man has managed to cover up, and how much the media has just helped him in this. Even most of the so-called conservative media pundits won't go after him.
To the point of complicity. Go ahead, Gary.
Sergeant Pio's, one of his reports, claims that there are actually journalists who had privately admitted to his investigators that they were threatened by Obama's people. So they have managed to not talk about any of these things in the media. And, I mean, that's particularly scary. That's
one of the reasons I think Arpaio's investigation is so important for people to get behind him and start talking about this, donate to whatever it is, talk to their congressman and so forth, their congressman and so forth, because the fact that the Selective Service Records is a forgery, is a third-degree felony, and that opens up subpoena power. There's also a subpoena power now because there's there's two cases before the Supreme Court, is my understanding as well, and they're starting to get to these records, and it's, why is this guy hiding all this stuff if there's nothing to hide?
Well, that's the point, is if he had nothing to hide, why? He claims in his autobiography, which apparently is, again, another lie, well, it's not his autobiography, it's written by somebody else, and he has now actually stated that large parts of his so-called autobiography are fiction, which is kind of interesting.
Listen, Gary, we got to go to a break. Hold that thought, and we'll be right back, and we'll just pursue this till the end of the program. So this is 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire Media. And I'm missing my sister today.
I'm Patrick Henry Jones, running for Supervisor, District 3. Proven leadership for Shasta County. I am committed to actively protecting our renewable resources, mining, agriculture, logging, and ranching. It's time the county starts working for the people, not against. It's time for a change. Vote for me, Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor, District 3, paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor, District 3, 2012.
Wow, that's a nice new refrigerator.
Thanks. Just got it delivered.
You bought a new GE refrigerator in this economy? Must have been expensive.
Nope.
Did you buy it at one of those used appliance stores?
Does it look like a used refrigerator to you?
You didn't get it off Craigslist, did you?
Dude, do you think I'd do that? That's gross.
So what? Did you steal it from a model home?
Almost. I bought it at Appliances Direct. Now, they sell new high-quality GE appliances, as well as new heavily discounted GE scratch and dent appliances.
Yeah, but does it come with a warranty?
That's the best part. Appliances Direct, they have full GE factory warranty, even on GE scratch and dents.
Can they deliver if I need it?
Oh, yeah. They brought it out the very same day. They hooked it up, made sure everything works just perfect. They'll even take away your old appliances.
Same day delivery in Holloway? Wow!
You can believe it. Hey, where are you going?
I'm going to Appliances Direct to buy a new GE washer and dryer.
Ask them about their easy financing options.
Appliances Direct, your big box alternative at the end of South Market. 244-1600.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
You can call me. Just don't call me Debbie Harry. You can call me Ray. You can call me Jay. Just don't call me RJ or however that used to go. We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio, and the fun never stops. So, you know, we've got a caller on the line, Mr. Gary Creep. Creep, is that how you say that, Gary? I want to make sure I'm pronouncing your name right.
That's correct, Gary Creep.
That's it's an unusual name. What is that, English?
I'm guessing that does not stand for Committee to Re-Elect the President back in the Watergate era.
No, it's a Germanic name.
Oh, okay, there you go. Anyway, listen, where were we when we were rudely interrupted there? So we're back on Obama here. Where are we at in the investigations in this point, and where are you at in your cases? One of the people on the chat room wants to know where does the New Jersey lawsuit go from here, and what other states are looking into this? And you know, where are you guys at on this?
Well, we have a case right now pending before the United States Supreme Court called Drake v. Obama. It's a challenge resulting from the 2008 presidential election, in which we're asking that Mr. Obama be declared to be ineligible to serve as president. We're waiting for the briefing schedule and all that from the Supreme Court. So that's where we are on that. New Jersey case is being handled by another attorney that's not affiliated with us. I'm not sure his name is Mario Puzo. Where Mario is going with that. He had indicated that he had kind of dropped that whole issue after losing at the United States Supreme Court a couple of years ago, but obviously he's come back and filed a new one, and our philosophy is we don't care who wins on this issue as long as somebody does win and exposes it.
Does this give you do you have the power to get some of these records out into the public?
The short answer is yes. The long answer is that we've been blocked by judges. For instance, we issued a subpoena at Occidental College back in 2009, and the college indicated a willingness to turn over the records to us, and privately we understand that they were happy because they'd been besieged by requests that they couldn't respond to because just people, you know, wandering in or contacting saying, I want a copy of the Obama records or the Sotero records, and they just couldn't hand those out. But they indicated they were going to reply to our subpoena. And then Mr. Obama's private attorneys, after threatening me to back off or else, went into court and got the judge to put a halt to what's called quashing the subpoena until after he ruled on their motion to dismiss the case. We currently have new litigation going in California. It's called Dumet Dumais versus Bowen, in which we're challenging a code section seeking to have it declared unconstitutional that the California Secretary of State used to defeat a lawsuit we filed back in 2008, challenging Mr. Obama's win in California. And this time we're going forward before the election, and we, in that case, so we have subpoena powers, and we will be issuing subpoenas this coming week for a variety of records from him to show our to help prove our case. Even though we're not suing Mr. Obama directly, we will be subpoenaing those records because part of our claim is that there's a there's questions about a variety of candidates on the California presidential primary ballot, which is on June 5th. Including Mr. Obama and Mr. Romney, as to whether they qualify under the United States Constitution to run for and serve as president. And so, you know, so we'll be in a battle over the records again in that case, which will be interesting to see how Mr. Obama, who's not even a party to our lawsuit, tries to block that. But we also have cases going on in right now in Illinois and Pennsylvania that we filed to block Mr. Obama being placed on the ballot there. And we're going to be filing within the next week cases in additional cases in Pennsylvania and Illinois. We were going to be filing in Mississippi, but unfortunately we just didn't have the resources to be everywhere at once. But we anticipate filing shortly in Hawaii, the state of Washington, Virginia, Tennessee, Arizona, and Oklahoma. And we've been asked to take over ongoing cases in Arizona and Maryland. And it's just a matter of having the financial resources to do it because although people say, well, you know, you can get attorneys to donate their time, well, that may be true. But the problem is that the cost of a transcript, for instance, you know, the court records and the oral argument, that could cost thousands of dollars per case. And also, the filing fees, that can cost as much as $1,000 per case for the various filing fees you have to do.
Is there, where can we donate to get money to you? I mean, just go to the USJF, is it, website.org? Is that where we can be?
.net? Yeah, the website is usjf.net. It stands for our initials, United States Justice Foundation, usjf.net. And there's you can look on the website on the right-hand corner or somewhere up there. It says donate. People can go there and they can make a tax-deductible contribution to help us pay for this because, again, most of the attorneys that we're working with are doing it for free. They're not looking for compensation, but they want us to pay all the out of pocket, so at least they're, you know, because let me tell you, there's a lot of retribution. And there's a retired judge back in Mississippi who actually overheard, he was litigating a case that we funded back in 2008 and 2009, challenging Mr. Obama's election. And he actually overheard two judges privately talking, about, you know, essentially retribution against him, punishing him for bringing those cases. And I know that we were ready to file a challenge for the Alabama primary, and we had six attorneys at various times agree to and then back out from being our local counsel because since I'm based in California, when we go and file in another state, we need an attorney from that state to sponsor us so that I can go and argue the case. Well, six attorneys at various times during that proceeding agreed to and then backed out from being our local counsel. And, you know, they had various reasons, but as one of them just admitted to me, if I took on this case, I want to help it. If I took on this case, there'd be retribution against my clients. I can just tell you there will be by the Justice Department. So, you know, he was, you know, I can't blame the man. You know, I felt saddened that he wouldn't, I was sad he wouldn't help us because he's a dedicated constitutionalist attorney.
But there's something wrong here. That's a sad commentary when people are afraid of retribution from the federal government and the federal bench, the judges, if they are representing something that, I mean, this is either true or it's not. He's either legally able to reside as president and be eligible or not. And there should this is just I have utter contempt for these people that at the that are trying to block this, because if we don't have this, the rule of law, I mean, we're not in a free society anymore.
Well, that's the sad thing, is that we're talking about some really important things here. I mean, look what's going on. We had this case I mentioned before, U.S. versus Antoine Jones. The federal government actually said in their brief that they had the right to follow with a tracking device any individual in the United States for as long as they wanted, without a warrant, without a court order, without court permission or knowledge, on a mere suspicion that that person might commit a crime at some point in time in the future. I mean, talk about Big Brother, Brave New World, whatever you want to call it. I mean, complete observations of us day and night. Then you had the, and that was the Obama, Mr. Obama's Department of Justice just a couple months ago saying that. Then you had the right-wing extremism report, which Mr. Obama's Department of Homeland Security issued in 2009, asking every law enforcement agency in the country to stop monitoring and reporting to regional centers the activities of returning veterans, gun owners, UN opponents, pro-lifers, opponents of the United Nations, basically anybody to the right of center. And they actually have been monitoring people, because we're funding the legal challenge in Connecticut, just based on the fact that this man who had no criminal record, he had never been arrested, he was put on a domestic terrorist watch list by Mr. Obama's FBI, because he was the founder of Tea Party groups up in the New England area, and sponsored and organized some of the first Tea Party demonstrations.
Yeah, the Tea Parties are being attacked legally just by not getting their statuses from the IRS as well, and we have attorneys that we're working with on that as well, and it's just unconscionable. Listen, we got to go to a break here. I wish we had more time. We'll be right back, and we'll just keep going this information, because it's, in my opinion, it's either fight now or fight later, but you better get in the fight here, guys. So absolutely. 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire. We'll be right back.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
Listen this Sunday, April 22nd, as we welcome back author Charlotte Thompson Iserby. As a member of the Reagan administration, she exposed secret government activities designed to dumb down America. This week, Charlotte explains how we're unknowingly being victimized by what she calls the devil's seven-pronged fork. We the People, Sunday mornings, 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
It's Drake and Bill.
Hey, Drake.
Hey, Bill. Don't you just love sunbathing in the park?
Yeah, Drake, it's so relaxing just soaking up the sun. Better be careful, though. Don't want your bill to get sunburned.
Hey, Bill, you see what I'm seeing?
Oh!
That lady's dog's about to... Oh, no, not there. Oh,
ew, why did you make me look at that?
Oh, no, it's cool. She's prepared. She brought a bag to clean it up. Check it out. Turn the bag inside out. Scoop. All gone. Like it never happened.
Oh, she's smart. Probably knows that if that stuff gets into the storm drains, it's going to pollute rivers and streams.
Ugh, dogs are disgusting.
What Drake and Bill are trying to say is not everyone understands that our storm drains can flow directly into our streams and rivers. Pollutants can cause adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even ducks. This message brought to you by the City of Reading Public Works Stormwater Program.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR 1460. com.
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio. Listen, we got gremlins in the studio this morning. I think it's all because my sister's not here. She's I'm not sure what happened. She's been giving us the voodoo curse or something. The music's not working, everything. I don't know. Anyway, we're back, and we're with our guest, Gary Creep, and we're talking about the criminals in government right now that don't seem to care if we have a constitution or not. So anyway, Gary, you're back.
Yes, and let me say thank you for having me on your show today, by the way. I forgot to say that at the start.
Oh, thank you for coming on. We can't tell you how appreciative we are to have you here to get this information out. We've been just we're going to keep beating this drum because we know the consequences of this, and this is not a Democrat or a Republican issue. This is a issue of law, and the more people that understand this, the better, because this is not going to end well if we keep heading down this road.
Well, that's for sure. There was a recent article. Let me back up a little bit. We were talking about the Magnus Shemerson report and this claim by the federal government that they could track us wherever we go on a mere suspicion that we might commit a crime. And I co-authored a brief that was written in the main by Herb Pytus and Bill Olson, who are two wonderful Christian constitutional law scholars back in Northern Virginia, and it was our brief that Justice Scalia lifted heavily from in the U.S. versus Antoine Jones case. And if anybody wants to read some fascinating discussion of the original intent of the Founding Fathers for the Fourth Amendment, they should read some of the briefs in our briefs in that case, because we laid it all out, and Justice Scalia and four of the justices agreed and adopted, bringing back into full life, as it were, the original intent of the Founding Fathers for the Fourth Amendment. One of the interesting things about that was that Justice Sotomayor, who has been expected to be a hardcore liberal, actually voted for the conservatives on that, because her concern was that the federal government, and she said this in a brief, would follow people to gay bars and then the government wouldn't then blackmail them with that information, which I thought was interesting. And Justice Alito, normally a hardcore conservative, voted with the liberals on that and said, no, we're not going to go back to the 18th century. We have to stick with modern ideas of search and seizure. So, but fortunately, the traditionalists won out. And so that was a great victory for the United States citizenry and for the United States Constitution.
That's interesting that Sotomayor would vote that direction because of that. Now, didn't she represent Obama in some prior cases? On some of this stuff, shouldn't she be recusing herself from the bench?
Well, that's not Sotomayor. That was Kagan.
Oh, Kagan.
And, it's unconscionable, and I'll say that right out. And I have, like I said, I have a case for the Supreme Court, and so I'm obviously running some risk. But it's unconscionable that Justice Kagan would not recuse herself from Obamacare because she was part of drafting the defense strategy for Obamacare in the courts, and was advising Mr. Obama on the whole issue of Obamacare. And there's specific federal law that says that under those circumstances, the judge must recuse herself. But when queried about it, Justice Roberts said that they would not force her to recuse herself. Now, the Supreme Court could have voted forcibly to recuse herself, but they didn't, and that's part of the idea that they all need to work together on these things. But Justice Kagan did recuse herself on another case, which was people found very interesting, the Arizona case over the Arizona immigration law. She recused herself on that, but not on the Obamacare, and there was less evidence about her involvement in that case, in the Arizona immigration law case, than there was on Obamacare. But, sometimes, people's egos, and they get their backs up, and I'm not going to recuse myself, and once they commit, they don't want to back down, and et cetera, et cetera. So who knows? But it's wrong of her to be sitting in on the discussions. It's wrong of her to partake in the decision, whatever the decision is, whether Obamacare is struck down, as I hope it is, or whether it's upheld. It's wrong of her to participate in that decision.
Wow. That's just, it's almost like we got the good old boys club on all levels here.
Well, you have to understand Mr. Obama had a checkered past in politics even before he ran for president. When he ran for, I believe it was either, I don't remember if it was either the state Senate office or the U.S. Senate office. He actually went to court and got, or his people went to court and got all of his opponents kicked off the ballot for various technical reasons. So he wound up as being the only one in the ballot. So golly gee, he won the nomination. So there's all sorts of skeletons in that closet. I mean, even ignoring the eligibility issues and this the draft certificate issue and his social security number. There's all sorts of issues about things that he has done as a politician, raising all sorts of ethical questions. A man goes, he was elected to the U.S. Senate in 2004. All of a sudden he's supposedly president in 2008. I mean,
yeah, he's got some backers there somewheres. I mean, someone is promoting this guy, whether it's the bankers or Soros or whatever. But, and the fact is, I totally believe at this point, given all the evidence, that this guy is not an American citizen. I mean, that's the only conclusion I can come to. I don't have the evidence at this point to prove it. But why else would you cover all this stuff up?
Well, it makes sense. Yeah, the left keeps saying, oh, that's all been dealt with. Well, it hasn't been. Unfortunately, Mr. Obama is a liar, and he is just the worst. He's the epitome of a power hungry, power mad, egotistical, narcissistic politician. I mean, I have not been happy, to be quite honest, with any of the individuals occupying the White House since Ronald Reagan left. All of them had their faults. George Bush the Elder and his ties to the CIA, George Bush the Junior, and his extensions of the Patriot Act, which I believe parts of it were unconstitutional. I mean, ever since President Reagan, we've seen a steady stream of efforts to increase the power of the federal government through both Republican and Democratic administrations. So it's not just a one-way thing. It's just Mr. Obama has put the increase on mega steroids,
right,
trying to push through a bunch of things at once instead of just slowly engulfing our rights.
Yeah, I think that they've definitely set their stun gun on us at this point, and it's the people have got to start getting more and more involved and stand up to this, because this leads to tyranny and poverty, and it's just not going to end well. But I have hope the people are starting to stand up. They're starting to realize what's happening here, and they're coalescing in a lot of different areas. And I totally believe that we need to get a guy like Ron Paul in at this point. And the media has been so slanted against him and biased and so much disinformation, it's been ridiculous, because I think they're afraid of him, because either Romney or Obama, I think, is going to be the same result, whether it's just the timetables.
Well, I think you're right. I think the problem is that if Mr. Obama, assuming he's eligible, wins re-election, then the Republicans at least will stand up and fight him.
Right.
But if Romney wins election, the Republicans go along with all of his plans to expand the power of big government. Romney and Obama are not that far apart on policies. It's just rhetoric.
Absolutely. What do you think? Do you think if we can find this guy ineligible, or he gets the selective service thing and fraud, where do you see this going? Are we going to watch this guy get out of there on handcuffs, or do we got to get a Republican filled House and Senate to get rid of this guy? Where are we going from here?
I don't think the Republican leadership and the Democratic leadership, I believe, neither of them really care about the Constitution or about the people. They just care about power, who's got the political power, so they can give patronage to their supporters and help their friends and family get rich. And unfortunately, a lot of the Tea Party, so-called Tea Party members of Congress have bought into this whole power thing. It's so sad to see so many people go back to Congress and become part of the problem rather than part of the solution. So I don't think impeachment, no matter what, I think Mr. Obama could probably murder somebody, in front of the cameras, and they wouldn't impeach him then. I mean, everyone's so scared of him for whatever reason. They just don't want to touch the whole impeachment issue.
Listen, Gary.
No matter what he does.
Listen, Gary, I'm running out of time here. I'm not sure what we got left, about a minute. So I've got to thank you for coming on. We'll give you a call. I'd love to have you back on as a guest again in another week or so and update us and go from there. But I've got to sign off here. So thanks for being here. And remember out there, guys, criminals are dumb as stumps. If they were smart, they could go to be investment bankers or judges. That's Blackjack Point. And he who helps the guilty shares the crime. That's Publius Syrus. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. Thanks for being on the show, everybody. And we'll see you next week. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire.
And up next, Kurt Largent. This is KCNR, Shasta Redding, home of Free Fire Media. It's 9 o'clock.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. Amid reports of new scattered violence interrupting the negotiated ceasefire, Syria is going to see 10 times as many UN observers.
The draft resolution has been adopted unanimously.
American UN Ambassador Susan Rice, after the Security Council voted this morning to increase the number of on-the-ground observers to 300. Russia warns against intervening with military force.
If we are to impose any external forces on this, this may exacerbate the crisis.
The translation of Russian UN Ambassador Vitaly Churkin. There have been reports of an explosion at a military airport today in Damascus and the bombing of an oil pipeline near Iraq. Police fired tear gas and protesters responded with oil bombs. That's according to reports out of Bahrain, where anti-government protesters want to stop tomorrow's Formula One auto race. A separate demonstration resulted in one death.
Opposition groups are saying that in one of the villages, the riot police chased a number